Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am just getting off of my Rex Manning Day party. I've been celebrating all damn day, and I'm ready to talk about it with you. We gotta do Say No More, Mi Amor.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was truly the longest day ever for these people.
Yeah, this was one of those like one movie days. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, it was supposed to be a 2-day movie day, but they cut out an entire day. So
that's a lot to have to cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Think of what these kids could have gotten up to in 2 days' time.
Honestly, nothing good, but like
definitely not. That's confirmed.
I think that we were supposed to get more backstory from the kids that we did get, and a couple of extra kids, you know, because this movie definitely needed more kids. So
every time another one showed up to work, I was like, there's another employee.
Well, okay, like in the Empire Records defense, because you and I mean we'll say a little bit of our backgrounds with this movie, but but your reactions to each kid coming in, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. So for the record on Empire Records, I've never seen this film before today. I feel like it has, if this makes sense, it has like a very memorable like cover or poster or whatever. And I want to say that I saw it a ton at like the video store when I was a kid. It just like it sticks out to me as like I've seen that movie, but I definitely hadn't ever.
Yeah, so this 1995 movie is definitely one of those, I guess, culty classics that come up. And I feel like it was like, I don't know, definitely something that I remember when I was in high school, people were watching, even though it came out 10 years before I was in high school. So I saw this movie back then. I own this DVD in my DVD collection that has now been given away to our close friend Brenna. Well, actually, I think Brenna's brother has it. But
there you go.
So I am familiar with this movie, and I think it's been a bit of years since I've seen it, but it is memorable enough that nothing really surprised me on my my watch this time around. But I think it's one of those movies that, I don't know, it just celebrates like teens being teens.
These, okay, except for the fact that these aren't your normal, average, everyday teens. These people have fully lost their minds.
No, okay, so this movie takes place at Empire Records, which is like a Tower Records, and it so does remind me of the shenanigans me and my friends got into back in the infamous Stop and Shop days.
You like, got up to some of these
not like this, but there was times where we, like, there was a period of time where it was 100% fuckery. Like, we would go and get, like, little Nerf guns and have, like, Nerf gun fights on the registers.
Oh, my God.
There was, like, flirting. There was, like, throwing receipts at each other. Like, it was, like, a bunch of fuckery. And it was, yeah, honestly, like, I always cited that as the best Stop and Shop days. But then the, like, Stop and Shop scandal of 2006 happened, and then more than half of the employees got fired.
Oh, there my was, gosh. What was the scandal? Yeah,
there was a purging. There was a ring of people charging other people, like, cents instead of the actual amounts. And loss prevention came. It was, like, a whole big thing.
A scandalo.
It was. It made the local paper.
Incredible. We love to hear it. Yeah.
And but there was a purge. So, I mean,
were you a part of the purge?
No. Oh, I wasn't part of the purge. So it definitely reminds me of those days where, like, it was just free and, like, you really did do whatever you want. And there was a lot of, it's kind of interesting. Like, Joe is an interesting character because, you know, he's complacent in a lot of this bullshit.
He is the, like, sole adult in the room, basically.
Yeah. And but he's also, like, too close to all of them.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so this is what I will say about, like, all the fuckery that, like, happens, is there is something to being a teenager who works in either retail or food service or, like, something like that, you know? Because most of the time, all of your other coworkers are around your same age.
Yeah.
And to your point, that is when the chaos happens, because you become best friends with your coworkers because you see them the most out of anybody. And you have to put up with dumbass customers. You have to put up with a lot of shit. And so you kind of just build this, like, camaraderie. And I will say, like, this film embodies that camaraderie in this small group where it's very love hate, right? One second you're making you're a dumbass pin for someone. And the next second they're, like, holding back your hair as you, like, throw up or something, you know, like,
yeah,
this is the kind of relationships you build with your coworkers a lot of the time, especially when you're a teenager and it's, like, one of your first jobs. So you're a little chaotic gremlin.
That's, like, very incestuous.
Yes. With
relationships.
Yeah. But yeah, to your point about Joe, it's like, I had managers like that. We all did, where, like, they were one of the kids. And yes, like, specifically with Joe, I felt like they did a good job at, like, showing that he probably was just like Lucas at that age. He was a fuck up. Obviously, someone, like, took him in and helped him out. So he saw himself in Lucas, and that's why he took Lucas on. And that's why we find out, like, he didn't, you know, fire the guy for stealing $9,000, which we'll get into. But yeah, Joe is certainly that guy. He is that manager who's, like, too, he hangs out with the teenagers, like, yes, a little bit too much.
Yeah. I remember there was this one manager, at Stop and Shop. Her name was Colleen Bologna. But it was spelled Bologna, but it was, like, pronounced like Bologna. You know,
here, she just told people that because she didn't want to be called baloney.
I don't know. But she was, like, okay, number one, she was, like, gorgeous, but yeah, gorgeous in the sense of, like, she still dressed up like it was the 80s. Like, she had, like, permed blonde hair and she wore, like, eyeshadow. And she was, like,
how old was she when you worked with her?
She had to be, like, 30 something, 40 something. But okay, she, like, would flirt with all the teenage boys.
This is so funny.
And she was the biggest gossip ever.
All the older women are. That's the thing.
And she was because the front end manager.
What we and she was too close to everybody, wasn't she?
Way, like, too close to everybody. Yeah.
Yes, but and nowadays, now that we're, like, full adults, we're like, that was a little creepy. That was a little much. Because I wouldn't do that. that with like teenagers now. I'm in my 30s. I wouldn't act that way. But we all were dealing with that sort of thing when you worked retail or food service. Like you got really close to this. There was this manager. I'm going to spill the tea right now because this is like incestuous coworker kind of gossip, a movie. There was a manager when I worked one of my first jobs, and he was like not cute. Okay. He was not cute. Like he was like, I don't know. He had like very bad skin in terms of like, he has not to make fun of bad skin, but like, it was like, he had like redness a lot and he was like balding. And again, let me just not cute, but all the girls were like obsessed with him. Mm. And looking back, I'm like, it is so yucky because like, he was so much older and like how much he was like hanging out with like younger girls is like so creepy now.
I mean, they,
you know,
all do that. I really do wonder where Colleen is now, like, because she did get like moved to a different Stop and Shop because
she's doing the same old thing somewhere else. I think that eventually those are the people that like move from like retail store to retail store and are always that manager that's too close to their employees.
Man, I would love to know where Colleen is now. And like, she, like, you would tell her your life, like, and she always knew when people were like dating. It was just, she was just like the person that you shared with. And like I said, she would like flirt with all of the teen boys, but whatever. It was a time, it was a place. So like, I get it. Like I was basically like these Empire Record kids, and now I'm of the age of a Joe. And the whole time I'm just like, God, like none of these kids are working at all.
I just want Joe to clear house, to be honest. Like none of these people need to be working for him. Like
they need the company purge. That's
Gotta start. Yes, seriously. Oh, but over half need to be fired. Let's start with Lucas, who is the first big fuck up where he realizes that like Joe might like, they might end up turning into some like chain and he doesn't like it. So he takes the 9K because he wants to like quadruple it to be able to give the money to Joe to not have to deal with the chain. But he's an idiot. And he's like, hey, I was trusted to close at the store. I'm going to take this 9K and bring it to a casino.
Yeah, so they live, I believe, in New Jersey because he drives to Atlantic City and he goes to, I think, the craps table and he rolls a 7,
right?
Which in this iteration of craps is a good thing because he doubles his money from 9,000 to 18,000. Yeah. This is where I would run. Like
You gotta cut and run now.
That's what I would do. And he gets into this very like, I am like either a prophet or he's kind of karate kidding it. And he definitely has this like, I am one with the dice will come to me type of thing.
This is how they get you.
Yes.
This is how gambling addicts are born.
It's true. So he, instead of running when he doubles his money to 18,000, he really, really wants to, triple his money,
right?
Or quadruple his money, and he goes all in again in order to get 36,000. But he gets snake eyes, and then he loses it all. So now
everything.
Now he has lost $9,000 of the company's money, and what is he to do? So I mean, literally nothing. There's nothing for him to do.
Well, he decides he tells AJ and Mark about this.
So his friends, AJ and Mark. So yeah. Mark
is a lunatic. I'm not trying to diagnose anybody here. Okay. Uh-huh. Full disclaimer, not a doctor, not a psychologist, not a therapist. Kid needs to be on Ritalin. Like this kid.
He's so endearing. I'm surprised that you didn't find him adorable. Like I remember being a teenager and just thinking that he was like absolutely adorable.
I think he has the cutest face. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But I think what stops me from adoring him is just the audacity of all of these kids. Like I found myself being the adult in the room and being like, please go away. You're all just monsters.
Well, okay. So Mark is, He actually is the only one out of all these children that works throughout this day.
He does work.
He works hard, and oftentimes he's working when everybody else is not working.
But also, he ate a weed brownie on the clock.
That is true. It was towards the end of his shift.
He chewed with his mouth open, which is a terrible offense.
He did that. He also hallucinated at work.
Well, because it was a really very, very fun brownie.
But he has aspirations of starting his own band called Mark, but with a C to make it spicy.
So cool.
Very cool. And then there's AJ, who is, I would guess, like the artist. He definitely seems to be the most responsible one at first glance.
Yeah, and he's like the romantic one, right? Like he's the Pisces. Like the softy. Yeah. He loves love. He's in love with Liv Tyler.
Yes. Whose character name is Corey. And Corey is the smart, pretty girl next door who has not lost her virginity yet and has decided that on this Rex Manning day, she is going to give herself to Rex Manning, who is a washed up 70s has been pop star.
This man, you want to fuck this orange man? Stop it, Liv Tyler. Well, stop it.
Well, I guess like if she gets the opportunity, she will. She's been a fan of his for a really long time. Corey is really wanting to sleep with Rex Manning.
Right.
AJ is in love with Corey.
And he keeps drawing her every day, all day. He doesn't work. Creepy. He draws.
Yeah, but he seems responsible.
He, alongside Mark, they do work sometimes. Sometimes when he's not gluing quarters to the ground.
Oh yeah,
that's art.
Yeah, that was a little.
Stop with your bullshit, all right? I cannot.
So, along with Corey, we have her bestie, Gina, played by Renee Zellweger.
Yes, and she is the one we all slut shame. She is the one who just likes to fuck guys and do whatever she wants and cool girl.
Yeah. She's like kind of like the Joey Potter, where she's like, I am just going to stay in the small town. I have no future.
But
I'm
she's
just gonna
the
be
sexual
what my mom
Joey
is.
Potter. She's the...
Oh, no. She can be sexual.
Sarah.
What's that?
Okay, you're going to be in awe of my genius.
Okay, I'm ready.
Renee Zellweger's character. Tell me her name again. Gina.
Gina.
She is literally, take Joey Potter, take Jen... smash them together. She has Jen's sluttiness, and I say this with love because people slut shame the shit out of Jen, and I think she should be able to go forth and fuck if she wants to.
Yes, of course.
And the Joey Potter, like, I'm just the girl down the creek and I won't ever leave.
Yeah. Do you hear Ruby snorting down there?
No, is that why you were laughing? I thought you were so tickled by my analogy.
No. So, like, my dog Ruby is like under my desk. She loves when I'm a hard worker. She would literally die at the fact that
I think she's a Taurus.
She just wants to work. So she's under my desk, but she keeps like wanting me to pet her. And then she goes like, rah, 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 rah. Ruby Queen, like, you gotta let us podcast.
She says, stop talking about Gina, please just talk about me.
No, she really just wants me to go back to work. She's just like Joe. So yeah, I guess you're right. She is like a bit of a Jen and a Joey because she is like, I don't know. She's like, she feels like she doesn't have a future and she doesn't want to be like her mom and blah, blah, blah. But she's friends with Corey, and it's kind of hard to be friends with somebody who's like the smartest girl in the room, the it girl in the room.
Everybody loves her. She's so pretty.
So they're good friends, but there's definitely some like underlining jealousy.
There's some frenemy territory there.
We also have a Deb / Deborah played by Robin Tunney.
Yeah, last time I saw her, she was blonde and like popular little girl in school.
We watched her in The Craft. And one of the things that we talked about was how bad her hair was. And it was because she shaved her hair for this movie. Right.
Yeah, this was wild. When she just walks in and just goes to town on her hair with scissors, I was like, girl has lost it. She's had a menti bee. What is going on? And yes, it turns out she's going through some stuff.
Yeah, she's going through some stuff. Notably, one of the things that she's going through is some sort of like relationship issues with this guy, Burko, who also works here, played by Coyote Shivers. And apparently that could be his
this guy name. Clocked in like really late, right? Because when he showed up, I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, no, he's another guy. He's also like an actual singer, so I think that they just had this guy so that
he was the singer at the end,
real,
right?
Music. Yeah,
yeah. Can, yes, I also ask, because I just need a little confirmation on who the fuck works here, the guy who brought in food and had like long hair,
yes,
and loved, he loved hanging out with a Mark.
Yes.
Does he, Eddie, work there?
Eddie?
Or did he just hang out?
I thought that he did work there, but then I'm on his IMDb, or no, his Wikipedia, and it says he's best remembered for the stoned pizza guy, Eddie, which makes it sound like he's actually just a pizza guy and not an employee there. But he also was given the notice. So I would say that
that's what I'm saying. And he is not only handed the notice, but Joe says, like, go pass these out or whatever.
So, like, I think that, I don't know, it might be one of those things. It's like, well, if you're going to be here, then at least do some work.
Do work, because no one else does.
Because it seems like anybody and everybody can work here, because even Warren, who is a shoplifter, gets the job.
This boy, he's not a man. He looks like he's like 13. Shoplifts, yeah, from this place. Everyone full on loses their minds. Like, I feel like most shoplifters, it's like, oh, it's not worth running after them. It's not worth the liability issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let him go. No, they hunt this child down and like they hold him hostage. This is a hostage situation. In fact, Sarah, I'm pretty sure it's kidnapping because he's a child.
It probably is kidnapping because they don't call the cops right away. Or maybe they do, and this area,
the cops are busy, I think.
They're so
like,
busy.
You're literally holding a child. Like, oh, I guess maybe we should come because it's kidnapping. But
he
lies and says his name is like Warren Beatty, which is like an actor or a famous person or something, right?
We never get to know Warren's real name.
No, but like this kid, and this is where I was like, Joe, have you, I knew you lost your mind earlier, but now you full on lost your mind. Like, this kid first attempts to shoplift, and then they find him, they hunt him down, they hold him hostage, they kidnap him. He like spouts off of the mouth a million times. He gets to witness everything happening. He gets to meet Rex Manning. Finally, the cops show up, and then he comes back with a gun,
mm-hmm,
that apparently only had blanks in it, but he's just like losing his mind. And they're like, listen, we'll give you a job. Don't worry. We're all fuck ups.
I think that they were just trying to placate him. I don't know.
How did this kid get out of jail so quickly and return to the party?
It's because he's a minor. You can't hold a minor in jail.
It was so upsetting. I was like, please get this child away.
Well, he just wants a job at the record store. So this is a big day. This is I think April 4th. That is in the canon of Empire Records. April 4th is Rex Manning Day.
Okay.
And Rex Manning Day means that the washed up artist Rex Manning is coming to the store to sign records and CDs and cassette tapes,
and it's all for like older women, or like he really like did it for like young gay guys, so like, you know,
that was his demo. So as we said before, the only person that seems excited about this is Corey, played by Liv Tyler, because she wants to fuck him, but everybody else,
Manning Day,
everybody else is very like punk rock and like hates this guy.
By the way, I would have loved, like, I never worked at like any sort of record store, music store, anything where like you could choose the music, but I loved this method they had of who gets to pick the songs for the day.
Yeah,
where like you each take a color of M&M and then you pull a random one out of a packet.
Yeah. I really liked it too. And I liked how everybody got a veto.
That was great. And I love, it felt very, what is it called? Breakfast Club, when they were like dancing to the music.
Yeah. Yeah. It was it was fun in terms of like, there was a lot of really good music in this movie, a la Jam in January. You're welcome.
Jam in January. We nailed
it. We made it.
I mean, they were jamming like this entire film.
Oh, yeah.
Mark had to have had whiplash from the amount of headbanging he was doing.
Mark was having the best time of his life. Like, Mark's the type of guy that's going to look back. Right now, Mark is in his like 50s. Life was never as good as it was in the Empire of Records day for Mark.
I wish. Like, you know how they say ignorance is bliss? Like, truly Mark looks happier on that one day than, like, I think I've ever been ever. And I truly wish I could have, like, just Mark's brain for, like, a hot second. So I could be like, this is the peak. I'm here. Yeah.
Mark has one little monkey churning, like, the butter churn in his head.
With the symbols, like,
or that guy, that's what's making Mark go, and he is happy. Like, he's the happiest little clam.
He laughs at everything. He's always having a great time. And then we have like Gina and Corey are on the registers together. They obviously like it sets it up very easily and quickly that like, okay, it's that two as a duo, and they don't really vibe with Deb, who's pretty much as like dark and morose as one could be.
Yeah, Deb's kind of a bitch. Like, she is in terms of like, so I guess she has like an attitude, and we get Gina, who's like, I don't really give a shit, but it really does bother Corey, because it's like, I think Corey's used to everybody loving her, and to have one person not love her probably kills her.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I, you know what? Okay. I have to give this movie its credit, because yes, absolutely. That is what's happening, where she's just like, I don't get why Deb doesn't like me. And it's like, girl, not everyone has to like you. Yeah. Not everyone likes every flavor of ice cream. Like, calm down about it, Liv Tyler. And Deb, that's okay. The one thing I will, not the one thing, but like, I feel like I felt that there was more they would have given us on certain characters if they had more time, because like you said, it originally was like a 2-day movie, and this is a short movie. It's only an hour and a half. Like, I don't know who I am for saying this, but I feel like we could have added 10 more minutes and dimensionalized a few of these characters a bit more. And I would put Deb as one of those characters, because I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about what she was going through, given how much she seemed to be going through.
Right. So like, we see Deb, and she comes in, and the first thing that she does is make a beeline for the bathroom. And she had like a bob, and she decides to cut off and shave off her entire hair. Mm-hmm. As well as she has a noticeable self-harm injury on her wrist.
Yes.
And it is.
I really appreciated too how strongly AJ reacted to that, to be like, you can't, no, we need to talk about this. Like, you, I need to talk to you right now. Like, you can't leave. Like, we need to talk. Like, this isn't okay. Are you okay? Like, I really appreciated, like, it showed how much he cared about Deb.
I think that AJ cares about everybody. And I think it's like what you're saying before. It's just this camaraderie that you get when you're
he's the heart and soul, in my opinion, beyond like
10 people. 10 people that you just like care about, you're thrown together, they're your coworkers. You spend more time with them, more so than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
They probably go to the same high school together. So yeah, like he cares when he sees, and like he has this big reaction. And Lucas, like, it's interesting because he's like, oh, like let her go. And
I didn't like that.
Well, at first it's frustrating, but then he says, like, well, she's at the store. And I guess like the store to them represents safety.
Like, so home. Like, so she's not going to do anything here.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that that's what that meant. But it seemed like AJ took it like very seriously, as it should.
Yeah.
And we see Deb also have an interaction with Burko about like her being like very depressed, and that like even though something between them happened, which we don't really know what happened, we can only
assume. That's what I wish we knew more about, you know?
We can only assume that it was some sort of breakup. She said, like, you weren't the one that caused it. I was sad the week before that. I was sad the month before that. I was sad the years before that. Like, my life is just sad. We don't really know what she's going through. I think that that is exactly some of the stuff that they cut in this movie, which is a shame because.
Yeah, because it's like I felt like there were certain moments where I saw glimmers of like what her full character could have been, like the moment that she has with Corey in the bathroom where she's like talking to her and like helping her like rinse her face off and everything. And even the like funeral they have for her, I felt like showed that as weird of a thing of that that was to do, that that is something Deb liked. You know what I mean? Like they were showing her how much they love and appreciate her through something that she enjoyed more so than was really something for them.
Right. Exactly. The funeral is really interesting because it's like you say that like nobody cares about you or that we don't want you here. But like this is like what people would be saying if you weren't here, that we love you, that we miss you. Yeah. Of course, the funeral kind of became like anything but about her.
Well, like, it always becomes about Corey. Corey.
Well, it was about Corey, but then Lucas was also talking about his past. And
Gina
how,
comes in.
Yeah, I love that Deb was like, I hate this funeral. Like, this is the worst funeral.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed that. We don't get as much about Deb as I would have liked to. But then we kind of like, this is okay. I think what this movie is, Sarah, and sometimes I have to understand once I have to watch the whole thing to like understand what the purpose of the movie was. You know, this is like such a vibes movie.
Yes.
It's like it's a coming of age vibes movie, which is tricky because usually coming of age has like some sort of like moral of the story sort of thing. But this is much more of a just like, no, like teens fucked around for a day. Like that's what this is.
Yeah, I suppose there's flavorings of plot, but it's definitely just like we are going through the day that everything happened. And it's not really, I don't know, it's not like a huge plot heavy story. We of course like with the Corey stuff, we see her throw herself at Rex Manning. He doesn't reject her. He kind of like just whips out his dick and is like, okay, you can blow it now. And then I think that she gets cold feet because it's not like romantic. It's not what she really wants.
She thought it would be different than it ended up being. And it almost felt like that person she was being in front of him was like channeling Gina. She was not being Corey. And so I think that like when he in a sense like called her bluff, not that he didn't think she wouldn't do it, but you know what I mean, like she's like, oh my gosh, I'm actually not this person and I certainly cannot do this.
But at the same time, AJ decides to profess her love to her. And then she massively friend zones him. How'd you feel about
this? It was so brutal. Here's the thing. And you know me. You know exactly who I am, Sarah. Like, I'm not a schmoopy person. So you'd think AJ would not be the character for me. However, I found him to be so endearing. Like, I thought he was so adorable. I thought he had, like, such a good angle with, like, the art. If he could have, like, figured out a way to like show her some of his, like maybe just one picture. I think more than one would have been overwhelming. 30. Yeah, just like one photo of her to like kind of convey what she means to him. But I think he should have listened when she said like, not right now. I think he was too much in his own head to realize the social cues of like, she looks upset. She looks like she's been crying. Like, yeah, maybe this isn't the moment. I think he was too hyped on his own adrenaline to be like, it's now or never. And I felt so bad for him when she friend zoned him. And honestly, at the end, when she was like, no, I actually love you, I was like, do you live, Tyler? Do you though? Cause I don't know that you do in the same way he loves you.
You don't deserve AJ.
I mean, kind of no. Like, I think that for her, he's like, he's just there. He's an option. And I think for him, she's everything. He's moving to Boston for the girl. Like,
yeah, he gone to art school.
Oh, no, it's true. It's true.
They just so happen to both be going to Boston. It's not solely so that he can be with her, but yeah. So we get the friend zone, and then they come back, and we like, I think that this is another thing that this movie is lacking of like, what happened inside of Liv's head to be like, actually AJ is the guy.
That's what I don't understand. Like, cause all we saw that happen was like, her substance abuse issue with like Speed, it was revealed, right?
Correct.
And then she kind of like has this moment with Deb, splashes water in her face, blah blah blah. And then they have this like, you know, harrowing moment with the gun, and then they have this big party. So I don't really understand how we got from A to B. Like, what pinged in her head about AJ? Like, was it the fact that everyone's partying and he's fixing lights? Like, is there something in that? I don't know.
I don't think so. Maybe she just needed a moment. I don't think we actually get to know what it was. Maybe it was realizing that like, life is short between the funeral stuff and the gun stuff. Maybe it's like realizing that, you know, what she wanted was like somebody to like see her, and like AJ was always that person. I'm not quite sure. I think that the addiction storyline is also really interesting, because like we said, it was like the very first thing that we hear from Corey is like, she was up like all night baking cupcakes for Rex Manning Day. And Gina's like, how do you have time in the day for this? And she's like, well, there's 24 usable hours in a day. And it's because she's on these uppers that make her go, go, go. It's also how she's such a good student. She got into Harvard. Mm-hmm. And it also is something that like, she really is working to be perfect. Like, she wants to be perceived as perfect. And this thing that like got out is just, you know, it definitely like affects her reputation. And she, it gets revealed because after she does not have sex with Rex Manning, she has this fight with Gina where she basically is like, I can't be like you, Gina. I can't be a whore like you, Gina.
A whore. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So maybe, maybe it's clicking in my head. Maybe it was because, so Gina ends up sleeping with him, and then everybody finds out because it's like, oh, where's Gina? Oh, where's Rex? And then they hear them fucking in like the copy room. And so that's when Liv Tyler comes in, and Corey, and she's just like, why is the door locked? And then she realizes what's going on, and she's like embarrassed and like upset. And Gina comes out, and they get into a big fight, and AJ like full on tackles Rex Manning.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I also wonder, because back in the day in the 90s, it was like, oh, swoon, my man is so strong and beats up other guys and shows his masculinity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that AJ is like, to Rex, like, you are not the upstanding gentleman that like you're supposed to be, and like, you took advantage of someone who's young and vulnerable. Even though it seems as though our Gina was the one that initiated things out of like revenge from Corey. It was messy. I mean, do you feel like Gina did Corey bad in this moment?
It feels icky to do, certainly. I think like I feel like it felt like a bit of a jab at Corey, like oh, you're so perfect, but I'm gonna fuck Rex. Like it did feel that way, because I don't think she had any interest in him, you know? Like, it didn't seem like it, at least.
No, she did it because she could.
Yeah, exactly. To show that she could. So yeah, I mean, that was rough. I thought when Gina first brings him into the closet to see what color underwear he had, because that's her talent, is knowing what brand and color people's underwear are. I thought she was gonna get him down into like his underwear and then be like, yeah, sucks to suck, and like take a photo of him or something. Like, I thought she was doing it for Corey, like to be like solidarity, sister. And so when that didn't happen, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I thought, no.
Yeah, I wonder what the lesson there was. I think it was just that she finds her value in her sexual side, and that I think that she did a little bit out of spite as well, but. I think that I hope that Gina finds her way and that realizes that she's worthy of anything that she wants to be.
Well, I mean, it does seem like by the end of the movie, right, she's like, she says, oh, I've always dreamed of like singing, but I can't bring myself to do it in front of people. And she like gets on the mic in front of a huge crowd, which feels like a huge step in the right direction. Everyone's like cheering her on. It did feel like she kind of found herself by the end of the movie. And that's, I feel like, true. Her and Corey made up, right? So
yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think that, I mean, it does, like, the fight was brutal because Gina also outed her addiction.
That was terrible. It was, like, and it was
throwing the pills everywhere.
Throwing the pills and then
Corey,
like,
was like on the ground on her hands.
She's so obviously like addicted.
Them.
Yeah, looking like not like she wants to look, crawling around on the ground. That was so brutal, right? Yeah. She's like, that's how you stay up late. Being perfect is, you know. So anyway, that was like really, really tough. I do think so. The whole point of the whole story and everything is that like they need to be able to get this money because they are going to otherwise be bought up by this like corporate chain. And none of them want that. And right. So they pool their funds together and they have $3,000 total. And Mark is like inspired and it goes to the camera guy outside who's taking away Warren Beatty and is like, hey, huge party tonight. What was the line I really liked? It was like, screw the man. No, save the empire or something like that. And yeah. They have this huge benefit party, this huge concert, and like everybody comes out and they end up like raising a ton of money. And Joe has to deal with like the big bad of this movie, who's Mitchell, who owns it.
It's a family business. Apparently it used to be like a Bed Bath & Beyond, but that sold toilets. But then his like father and grandfather made it into a record store. And he's like, if I still sold toilets, then I would be a millionaire. He hates the record store, but it just makes him money. And throughout the movie, he like comes around and he's like demanding Joe to give the deposit over. And Joe's like kind of giving him the runaround. He puts like paper in the money bag for him to go to the bank.
Yeah, because he's trying to figure out what he's going to do in the meantime, because like it's very obvious when he doesn't immediately fire and Lucas and have him arrested that like, OK, that's not the route he's going to take. So what is he going to do to get this money raised? And I love that Mitchell ends up being like so infuriated with the store and everyone that works there that he's like, you know what? I'll sell it cheap. Get out of my face.
Like, sincerely, because there was a moment where he was the only one working and he's like never used a cash register in his life.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny too. Yeah. So yeah, they end up like through all their nonsense and shenanigans, like end up saving the place, and Joe's working there and he's going to like keep everybody on staff. I mean, luckily for him, it seems like some of them will be leaving of their own accord to go to Boston. So thankfully, he seriously should purge it. Like, he needs to get rid of pretty much every single employee. Well, maybe Mark can stay.
Marcus Day. It seems like Lucas is really the sour apple, but he refuses to
Lucas is the worst. And here's the thing. I understand we're supposed to see Lucas as like a younger version of Joe and like blah, blah, blah. This man had the audacity to steal $9,000 and then just show up the next day at work like nothing happened. And then when he's told to sit his ass on the couch and not move, he puts his shoes on my furniture. I can't. There are only so many things I can take, Sarah. Well,
he eventually gets up and he's like carrying around the couch cushion.
That was funny. I did like
he's
that.
He's like, oh, like I'm still like with the couch.
Yeah, I'm not leaving. I have the couch with me.
Yeah, he's a really interesting character because like I said before, he fancies himself of being like kind of like some sort of Yoda. And he says something like, you know, my life is like, it's further than luck. Like it's like predetermined, something along those lines. And like, in a way, I saw this theory online that like everything was meant to be as it was supposed to be. Cause if he didn't lose the money, then, AJ and Corey wouldn't have gone together. Gina wouldn't have gone up and sang. Like, Deborah wouldn't have, like, discovered that people care about her. So, like, in a way, like, it all did work out. And, of course, Joe wouldn't have bought out the store. So, like, in a way, it all worked out. And he, like, kind of is, like, some sort of, like, profit that made it all happen, but like maybe that's giving Lucas a little bit too much credit.
I think it's giving him too much credit personally, but I did enjoy the movie. Like it was wild. I was not expecting pretty much anything that happened. I was always on like, you know, flying by the seat of my pants. I did think it was really fun. And the music, like you said, was really good in it. I think, I mean, there are obviously a ton of good songs in this movie, but I feel like my favorite was like the very first one I heard, which is Till I Hear It From You by the Gin Blossoms. Just so good. I don't know. Do you have a favorite song from the movie?
Well, I always liked Sugar High. I think I downloaded Sugar High off of like LimeWire back in the day.
I could see myself doing that if I had watched it back.
Right,
in the day,
because like I think it's a real song by Coyote Shivers, but they had Renee Zellweger sing on it.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I think like I had downloaded the one with Renee Zellweger, and I had it on my little iPod Touch or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I always really like that. But like, I'm a big fan of all the songs. Like I personally, there is something about Video Kill the Radio Star.
Yeah.
That just like really gets me going.
Yeah. The songs were all really good. And like, there were a lot of ones that I wasn't as familiar with that I kind of enjoyed that it wasn't just like songs that I knew every single song. You know what I mean? Like I kind of liked that because it fit what you think the characters would be into.
Right. Because each of them, everybody has their own individual music tastes, and it's interesting to hear what they would put on the radio. And of course we have like Mark with his like headbanger music, and Gina seems more poppy, and it's just like it's very enjoyable.
Exactly. I really liked it. I thought it was a fun movie. I definitely understood how it could be like a cult classic because it just felt like there were a lot of moments that would be very quotable, you know, like the one where what's the fake name? The fake
Warren Beatty.
He's like with his fake gun or gun with blanks in the store, and like three different characters, like heads pop out from behind one another, and they're like, "Wait, it's Warren! Wait, it's Warren! Wait, it's Warren!" All say like the same thing. Like I could see like certain be like quoting this movie a lot as like a teenager if I had seen it.
Yeah, it was. I remember. I, in particular, really liked Renee Zellweger's line, "Shock me, shock me, shocking, shock me with that deviant behavior." Like, I always really enjoyed that. And, of course, like, the fact that they made, like, a whole Say No More, Mia Moore.
Oh, the music video music was video. Everything.
Yeah. It was only supposed to be, like, a little – a little shot, but they like made the whole ass music video that's like almost 5 minutes in length, which I kind of find hilarious.
It's so, it's like, yeah, I love when
it's
when
so cheesy.
Yeah, it's so extra. So extra. Oh, it was the line, "Stop calling me Warren. My name isn't fucking Warren." And they go, "His name isn't Warren. His name isn't Warren. His name isn't Warren."
What's his name? And we don't
know. We don't know because he comes back and he has the freaking like card tag, name tag thing that's Warren on it.
Yeah. You know, you can't get mad at people for calling you Warren if you never gave them your real name.
It's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah. This was also supposed to be a musical. But
that's interesting.
It got put on hold due to COVID.
Oh.
Yeah.
This could totally work as a musical.
Why does COVID have to ruin everything?
It really does. But I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a ton of fun. I would watch it again.
There we go.
Winner, winner.
What a winner.
Dinner.
It's always nice when you actually would rewatch something.
Yeah, because I'm not above rewatching things. I like to rewatch things.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a Tower of Records?
No.
No?
Never.
I used to go, I bought my first CD with my own money at Tower of Records. It was the Nirvana CD with a naked baby on it because I like just wanted to be that cool girl.
Yeah.
I really wanted to have Smells Like Teen Spirit on CD. But yeah, like I went there and then eventually they you know, Tower Records went into bankruptcy and closed by 2006. And then they turned it into a Goodwill.
Wow.
The building. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Poor Tower Records.
Yep.
No, I went to an FYE if I ever went to any of those stores. And honestly, I never bought anything because it was so expensive compared to like, you know, Walmart, Target type places.
I was just throwing my dollar bills down.
There you go.
I said, take my money.
Anything else? Any major thoughts that we didn't already talk about on Empire Records?
I don't think so. I think that I'm excited to see more from Liv Tyler later this month.
Yes. Yeah. Because apparently two of these actors are also in That Thing You Do, which is what we're covering next.
So is it, it's Mark?
It's Mark and Corey who are going to make reappearances.
Yeah. Our favorite
1996
actor.
Comedy musical. That Thing
so
You
a,
Do.
A year after.
Oh, it's a musical? I didn't know that it was a musical.
Oh, fabulous.
Look, I could have been surprised, though. That would have been crazy to just start watching it and be like, what the hell? Also, much longer than this film. Holy God. Egads. I just saw
that. Wait, how long is it?
It's 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Oh, no.
That is a heavy lift. I'll do my best.
Okay. Well, maybe I can watch the first half and you can watch the second. And we can try to piece it together.
Anyway, that's what we're going to be covering next. Of course, in the meantime, if you somehow are just like only listening to our bonus content, we are covering Felicity. We're in like the middle of season one on that. And we just started our journey with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So if you want to check out either of those podcasts, Buffy comes out on Thursdays and Felicity comes out on Mondays. And yeah, if you have any suggestions for things you want us to cover, movies, anything like that, shit90spod@gmail.com or shit90spod.com. You could send us in suggestions. Also shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, let us know what you want to hear from us. If you have good, like alliterative themed months, we love an alliteration. hence Jam in January.
Yeah.
Sarah's grimacing.
Yeah.
But it's true. I don't know. I think that's everything. Sarah, do you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll let you all go. Go on now. Get out of here. And we'll talk to you all next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye. Just ask.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.